guiding hand of God. Appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. He came to die for all men and women, boys and girls. And our prayer is today, if you do not know Him personally as your Savior, that you would accept Him today. And He will graciously accept you, take you to heaven when you die, give you purpose when you're here on earth, give you a joy and a peace you've never known. What a blessing it is to serve Jesus this morning. I want to welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church right here in good old Powder Springs, which is becoming to be a little city now, literally, with all the things coming up around here. But that just means more opportunity to reach more people for the Lord. And so it's so good to be here. Good to have those that are visiting with us. If this is your first time visiting with us, would you raise your hand? If this is your first time, we've got one right here. All right. Thank you so very much, ma'am. It's a blessing, honor, and joy to have you with us this morning. And we have a visitor's card coming around for you. If you would be so kind just to fill that out and put it in the offering plate when it comes around, we can keep a record of your visit. Of course, we have others visiting with us this morning as well. And so thank you for coming. And I tell you, it's good to see Alan and Carlene with us this morning. And Miss Carlene has been sick for some time and had a birthday in the middle of it all. And pulled up in the Mustang this morning, so she's ready. I told Alan, I said, I heard something rumbling outside of my office window. I said, that's either a big pickup truck or a hot rod car. And I looked outside and I seen that baby blue Mustang and I heard it purring and I thought, yes sir, good to have them back. That went well with my coffee this morning. So anyway, good to be here. Had an amazing outreach yesterday. Awesome outreach at the soccer field. We handed out all of our Jesus hats. We were on the property for maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes at the most, and a couple of believers, we handed them a hat, talked to them about salvation. They said they're already saved, but they held my hand and Hassan's hand, didn't they, Hassan? And they started praying for us. They started praying that the power would fall behind the pulpit, that people would get saved, that people would start coming to Calvary. Then we went over to a little pavilion and set up, started playing some music. And this one man walked by, and I don't know, something came over me. That something is Jesus. And I said, hey, mister, if you died today, would you go to heaven? And I just started witnessing to him. And come to find out, he's an evangelist. And I said, praise the Lord anyway, brother. Praise. And he said, wait right here. And he ran to his car, brought back a card where it says evangelist on his car. He was so proud and happy of that. So we took a picture together. We were talking to young people. We were talking to older people, inviting them to church. We were able to get some connections with a potential piano player. I mean, it was just an amazing, amazing day, wasn't it? It was a great day yesterday, all the way around. We were so encouraged. I couldn't stop talking about it when I got home. And just ready this morning to preach the gospel. What an honor and joy it is. Let me mention some things. No service tonight. We did so good last Sunday night. That's not the primary reason why we're not having service tonight. But we did have an amazing time last Sunday night with our fundraiser. And we went for almost 2 hours. We exceeded the goal. Exceeded the goal. Can we give a round of applause? So I want to thank all of you generous donors who gave to this cause. We're going to start our work in the sanctuary the Monday after homecoming, which is September 16th. And the Lord is transforming the building physically, and we feel He is transforming people spiritually as well as you come, as we reach out to the community, and we're just giving it all we've got. Thank you for making it possible. Thank you. You're seeing your dollars go to work around here. And I don't know how much more encouraging it can get to know that you have part in building the house of God. So what a blessing that is. Again, we exceeded that last Sunday night, our goal. And so we're thrilled about that. And let me just stop for a moment. I think we have two birthdays today. One is not here, but one is here. Christian Busby has a birthday today. Round of applause. So I think we got something special for him. said, no, okay, well, that's all right. We loaded your pitcher, I promise you, we did. And also, Joanne Rich has a birthday today. She's not here, but that's okay. Christian, I promise you, man, we were going to embarrass you really good. So you escaped the embarrassment. That's all right. But happy birthday, man. We love you. Appreciate you. Appreciate your family. Y'all mean so much to us and Calvary as well. So just remember those things. What else we got? We got Youth Sunday coming up at the end of this month. The 29th, I believe, is what we settled on. So remember that. And, of course, we have homecoming right around the corner a couple of weeks from now on the 15th. There's a sign-up sheet to my right, to your left, for all of those who would like to help with the meal, bring in some side dishes. Miss Lee Ellen made that, so thank you for that. All right, if you would, just continue to remember my grandparents. My grandfather is still in the hospital. He is not in ICU. He is in a regular room, which is a good thing. At the same time, he had some fluid built up around his liver, so he's just having a rough time at the hospital. But thank you all for sending cards and calls and all your concerns and asking your prayers. Appreciate that. Continue to remember the Palmers and their doctor visits and treatments they're going through. Miss Connie Norton as she recovers at home. Good to have Brother Harold with us this morning. He really wants to be here, and he's here this morning. So we appreciate you, Brother Harold. And, of course, James Townsend, it's always good to see you, brother. Able to be back with us. Miss Shirley, everybody. I'm sure I'll leave someone out, but it's just so good for people to be here in the house of the Lord and ready to worship. Ready to worship. You glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. We need you this morning, Father. And Lord, I pray that every song that's sung, everything that's said, every scripture that's read will be for your honor and glory. Use it, I pray, dear Lord, for your honor and your glory. If there's one amongst us today that does not know you personally, does not know if they died, heaven to be their home, I pray today will be the day of salvation for them. And Father, we just pray for the believer, the Christian, the one that, those that know they're saved, they're just having a rough time, a hard time. I pray today they will receive encouragement. We love you today, and we thank you for all that you have done, all that you're going to do, and what you're doing now that we may not even be aware of. Thank you for our visitors. I pray that they would receive a blessing by coming today. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Hold on 1 second, everybody. 1 second. Brother Allen is having surgery, back surgery, on Wednesday. Okay? And anytime you have any kind of surgery is a big deal. But he's having back surgery. And what I want to do is, I want to have prayer over you, brother, if we could. Will anybody that would like, would you come down front for us? If we have a member, a person that's here, then we know they're getting ready to have surgery the following week, we always like to call them down if that's something they want to do, to have prayer over them. And so if you would, you'd like to join us in the altar to have prayer over Brother Allen. Brother, you just sit where you're comfortable. We just want to pray for you, pray that you have a speedy recovery, that you get better. I tell you, brother, you really feel your pain good. You act like nothing's wrong with you. I know on the inside you're hurting, your back is. So we love you today. We appreciate you. We just like to pray a surgery prayer over you. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name this morning. And Lord, I thank you for Brother Allen and what he means to me and my family, to this church, his faithfulness down through the years. Lord, it is matchless. He's such a wonderful
All right, church, thank you so much for your prayers and your support. Turn with me over to page 139. Let's all stand and sing together. Choir, church, stand 139. Let's sing the first and the last of At Calvary.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. On the last, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man, oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. Again, thank you so much for the prayer. And I am looking forward to what the Lord has through his healing. And I believe he's the great physician. He's in charge and in control, and I'm thankful that he has brought this thing up a little faster than I thought. We were looking at October the 2nd for surgery. They called me on Thursday, said there's a cancellation. Let's go and push this thing forward if you can make everything happen before next Wednesday. So that will be this coming Wednesday over at Cobb. And again, I appreciate your prayers. And you've always been so supportive. I hate that I'm going to have to miss a couple weeks, but I'm praying to be back in time for homecoming. So let's just make that a matter of prayer. I'll try not to push it too hard. But if we can be here, we'll do our very best to be here. And I've talked with Brother Snyder, and he's very excited about homecoming. That's right around the corner. Invite someone to come that day. It'd be a great, great day in the house of the Lord. We'll have no Sunday school that morning. The choir will be here at 9:15 and make preparations for the music that morning. We also have a guest singer, and Brother Snyder will be coming to bring the message that day, no evening service. So please just remember that Sunday in prayer, and we're looking very much forward to it. And but again, just continue to pray. Terry might need prayer more than me. I don't know. You know, I mean, number one, they're going to put me to sleep. I won't know anything about it. And then they're going to give me pain meds, and I won't know anything for days. But she's probably the one who stands in need of prayer. but again, let's pray the Lord to be with us today. We're going to change things up a little bit this morning. You notice that we're a little few in number in the choir. A lot of folks traveling and unable to be here with us today. So we're going to do things a little bit different. But let's ask the Lord to be with us. Father, we do love you and praise you. And we thank you for the opportunity that we have to be in your house today. And God, I pray that you would just touch us. You know what we need, Lord. And we are so thankful for that. God, I pray now that you'd bless the offering. I pray that you'd be with Brother Justin as he brings a message. Lord, I pray that souls would be touched and changed today for being in this place. Again, fill this place with your Holy Spirit would be our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Lily's going to come and sing a song for our offering this morning. You pray for her, she sings.
Abraham, you're the God of covenant and of faithful promises. Time and time again, you have proven you'll do just what you said. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast. And let my heart learn when you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting, same, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me. To age, though the earth may pass away, your word remains the same. Your history can prove there's nothing you can't do. You're faithful and true. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast. And let my heart learn when you speak a word, it will come to your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting, same, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me. I put my faith in Jesus, my anchor to the ground, my hope and firm foundation. He'll never let me down. I put my faith in Jesus, my anchor to the ground, my hope and firm foundation. He'll never let me down. I put my trust in Jesus, my anchor to the ground, my hope and firm foundation. He'll never let me down. I put my trust in Jesus, my anchor to the ground, my hope and firm foundation. He'll never let me down. He'll never let me down. Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting, same, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me. strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Jesus. Put our faith in Jesus. Jesus has promises for us. And what a blessing. Isn't it a blessing to see our young people being used of the Lord? They can be doing anything else this morning, but they're standing here singing praises unto the Lord. What a blessing. One more prayer request. Continue to remember Brother Jim Jr. over here. As he walks around with his boot on. I'm not talking about cowboy boots. And He will be having surgery soon, I'm sure. And so let's just remember him. And so good to see everybody this morning in the house of the Lord. And no service tonight again, so that means we can go longer this morning. Amen, amen. Again, it's good to have our visitors with us. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 14. The scriptures will be on the screens as well, so you can follow along there. If you would like, Luke 14, in just a few moments, we're going to read verse number 16 down through verse number 24. Luke 14, 16 through 24 in just a moment. I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to summarize chapter 14 in its entirety before we read our verses. Father, we adore you. We love you. We thank you. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your love. We look unto you, the author and finisher of our faith. This morning I pray, God, that you give me a clear head, a calm heart. Holy Spirit, I am dependent upon thee, Lord, to communicate Scripture to hearts. I can't do it. But Father, I learn in Scripture you have called the things that are the base things of the world to confound the wise. And Father, I'm thankful that you do call those who feel insignificant so that your power might be seen in a great way. I'm thankful for the call of God. Use the sermon, I pray, this morning for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Luke chapter number 14, we have many things that are taking place in this chapter in its entirety. We have Jesus, and he is covering a lot of grounds. In verse number 1 down through verse number 6, we have a healing on the Sabbath. Jesus deals with hypocrisy with this healing on the Sabbath. If you notice in verse number 1 of chapter 14, and it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. They watched him. Jesus was invited to a supper. It was the Sabbath, and customarily that's what they would do on the Sabbath. They would have a supper after worship, much like we do on our Sabbaths. And we know in verse number 2, as they were watching him, there was a man there with dropsy. Another word for dropsy or this health situation is the fluid retention at some part of the body, in the body. He was swollen, and it was evident that he had a problem. And so there was this man there at the supper table with dropsy. Verse 3, and Jesus answering, I think this is significant because nobody asked Jesus anything, but Jesus answered their thoughts. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Isn't that amazing? They didn't ask. They didn't say anything. And so we are reminded here that Jesus knows our thoughts. Jesus, he understands us. He knows our thoughts. Verse number 4, and they held their peace, and he, Jesus, took him, the man with dropsy, and healed him and let him go. And notice again, verse 5, and answered them. They never asked. They never said anything. He was answering their thoughts. And Jesus answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. Jesus had a conversation with their minds. Jesus will communicate to our minds as well. He will make impressions upon our minds. Someone may say one day, well, God put this on my heart and my mind to do. Well, Jesus is a communicator to the mind and heart. But he showed the hypocrisy, because we know no work was to be allowed on the Sabbath. But then he says, hold on, wait a minute. Which of you guys, if you had an ox in a field in the ditch, you wouldn't go get your ox out of the ditch on the Sabbath? And so nobody answered. And so it revealed hypocrisy there at the supper table amongst the lawyers and Pharisees. So in verse number 1 down through verse number 6, we have a healing on the Sabbath. But then we get to verse number 7 and we go down to verse number 11. And we have a parable of a wedding feast. And this portion of Scripture, Jesus deals with humility. He says, if you are invited to a wedding, don't go to the supper table and sit at the front. Because the one who invited everybody may have somebody that's going to be sitting there, and you're going to be shameful and embarrassed when he asks you to move. You go to the lowest place of the table, and if he wants you in the front, he will call you to the front. And he concludes in verse number 11, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And so he gives a lesson on humility. Oh, listen, how we need to be humble, don't we? How we need to assume the lowest seat at the table, the lowest seat in the house. Put others before us. If there's going to be any exaltation of self, let Jesus exalt us in due time. And so Jesus covers that in verse number 7 through 11. But then in verse number 12 down through verse number 24, we have a parable of a great supper. And this has to do with heeding. Heeding. Heeding what? Heeding the call, the gospel call, of going out and inviting people to the supper. Verse number 25 down through verse number 33, we have Jesus speaking on the cost of discipleship. This has to do with hating. You say, Brother Justin, hating, what do you mean hating? Well, verse number 26, he says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. He is not promoting hate, but he is promoting preeminence. He is promoting putting Jesus first in your life. And there is a cost when you put Jesus first in your life. Verse number 34 and 35, the chapter concludes with salt without flavor. Or salt that has lost its flavor. So this deals with honesty and being an authentic believer, staying salty, having that edge upon your life, being wise. And so that covers chapter number 14, and a lot of things taking place here. But this morning, particularly, I want to call your attention back to verse number 16 down through verse number 24. And this is the parable of the great supper. And notice, if you would, in verse number 12, this is the beginning of that parable. And verse number 12 down through verse number 15, Jesus says to invite all to a great supper. Not just family, not just friends, not just the rich, but the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. You see, family and friends can recompense you. Those that are rich can recompense you for you inviting them. Well, hey, you invited me for supper, I'll have you over my house for supper. He said, don't just invite them for supper. Go out and invite those who cannot recompense you for supper. And so Jesus is slowly putting in here a picture of his love for man, and that he died for all men. He died for those who cannot repay him. May I say this morning, none of us can repay Jesus for what he did upon the cross. None of us can. And so he, in verse number 12 down through verse number 15, he says, invite all. And when you do that, you will have a reward in doing so. Now, in verse number 16 through verse number 24, Jesus begins to spiritualize this great supper. He begins to spiritualize. In particular, again, verse number 16 through 24, and he is portraying this supper as the gospel. He is portraying this supper as salvation. He is portraying this supper as encouragement that's found in the scriptures, purpose that's found in the scriptures, guidance that's found in the scriptures. And Jesus begins to spiritualize this great supper to the gospel. Notice, if you would, in verse number 16. Then said he unto him, one of the people at the table, Jesus says, a certain man made a great supper and bade many and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. They all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I've bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife. Man, he threw his wife in there. And therefore I can't come because I'm married. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house or my table may be filled. For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. That's reading quite a few verses, but this is a parable of a great supper. And what a parable is simply a earthly story that brings a heavenly meaning. And so again, Jesus, he has been invited to a supper. And he is at the supper table. And he takes advantage of this opportunity in the home of a Pharisee, the lawyers, and the rest of them. He heals on the Sabbath at the supper table. He speaks on the wedding feast about humility at the supper table. And now he's speaking about heeding the gospel call at the supper table. He talks about the cost of discipleship at the supper table and salt that loses its flavor. And so Jesus is busy at the dinner table speaking. This morning I want to call your attention specifically to verse 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. I want to preach for a few minutes on this subject this morning. It's supper time. It's supper time. This message this morning is to encourage the saints of God to go tell the world dinner's ready. The table is set in splendor. Come and respond to the invitation. It is a call that we are to go into this world and share Jesus. But we also are called to encourage one another, the church, and remind one another that there is a supper on the table 3 days a week at church, and every day in your Bible there is supper prepared. And so this morning, It's supper time in the morning. It's supper time. Last night, yesterday, got back from outreach, and I was in my office from 12:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. Oh, I was hungry. Oh, I was cold. Yeah, I was cold. It gets cold in my study. I can't describe it. When I get in God's Word, my heart gets warm and my skin gets cold. I came out in the hoodie, and Christy texts me on the phone. She says, "Honey, open the door. I've got Popeye's chicken." I said, "Woohoo! Hallelujah. I was just reading about supper time, and here comes Popeye's." Popeye the Sailor Man. She came in, and she had some good, this was our cheat night, okay, so y'all don't be throwing anything at them, stones or nothing, okay, you know. We had good crispy fried chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy. We had macaroni and cheese. We had biscuits. The Braves game was coming on. I was done studying. Man, it was perfect. It was the perfect night last night. I ate that food. I smiled. I fell asleep. The Braves lost, whatever. And so, you know, it was a good night. But listen, it was a supper. Can I say this morning that there is a spread on the table this morning? There is a spread. There is a full course meal in this Bible. You don't just have to get it. It's not only available at church, but it's available at home when you're sitting there and you're discouraged and you're depressed. Why don't you just open up the menu and see what you want, because it's there. Jesus says that he will provide strength for the weary. Jesus will provide bread for the hungry. Listen, it is supper time. Not only do we need to shout it in church, but we need to shout it to the world. Hey, it is supper time. Come and get some of this spiritual Popeyes. Amen. I want to mention four things this morning. Four things about this story that definitely applies to all of us. Number one, I like to share with you a little bit about the cook or the master of the house. Look at verse 16. "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many." So we have a cook who's cooking up things. We have one who has put together some ingredients and has recipes and has put it all together and has put it on the table. And he said that he bade many. Many were invited to this great supper. Now we know that this cook or this certain man is Jesus. It is the Lord, and the great supper he's talking about is the gospel. Jesus came and was deposited in a virgin womb, and he was born, and so he had a virgin birth, and then he went on to live a victorious life or a virtuous life. He had a vicarious death, and then he had a victorious resurrection. And one day there'll be a visible return. There is salvation offered to all men. There is encouragement offered to those who are saved. He made a great supper, and he bade many. All was invited. I want to say this morning, there is supper on the table every service. There's a meal in God's Word every day for you. There's salvation. There's encouragement. There's guidance. There's love. There's purpose. It's all in this book we call the Bible. And so we see the cook here. And it was a man who was making a great supper. But number two, not only do we see the cook, but we see the crew. Notice what he says. "And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready." And so there was an initial invitation. Hey, everybody come and eat this great supper. And he was cooking it. And then it came a time where it was ready. It was on the table. And he told the crew, he told the one-man crew, he said, go and tell everybody the table's ready. You see, that's our job this morning. Jesus came, he bled, he died, he rose again, opened up a new and living way, and we got promises and purposes and all of that. And now it's our job to go out and invite those that were bidden. Those whom he died for. It is our job to go out and invite them to church and let them know that supper's ready. There is salvation to be had. But also it's our job as a church to encourage one another. Those who are already saved, say, hey, when was the last time have you had a meal from God's word? There is plenty in this book for you. There is supper on the table for those who were lost. There is supper on the table for those who were saved. And it was this man, this servant, that went out and told everybody, it's supper time. Now, we know that John the Baptist was one of these. We know the apostles were some of these, but also we know that it falls down and trickles down to you and me. We are to go to the highways and hedges and share the gospel, compel them, urge them to come in because there is a supper to be eaten. And so we see that the Bible says, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come. For all things are now ready. Yesterday, the outreach team, we went out to tell all it's supper time. Jesus' salvation plan is finished. Come and eat at the table. I said earlier that we weren't there but 5 minutes. And we were handing out Jesus. I was trying to contact somebody for a month to make sure there was soccer going on. Could never contact anybody. I reached out to some people on Facebook. They probably thought I was some kind of stalker or something. I was like, hey, I'm a pastor from Baptist Church. We want to bring our team out and be a blessing and help out with some things there at the park, some water, hats or something. And so we got there and we started to walk around handing out hats, inviting people. I was excited when we pulled up. It was packed. People on the soccer fields, people walking the track, kids on the playground. I was like, yes, yes, yes. And so we handed a couple ladies, we asked if they want a hat. They said yes. They said they were already saved, and they asked about our church. And they said, please let us pray for you. And me and son was standing there, and they grabbed their hands, and I'm telling you, they were praying. They said, oh, God, let the fire fall at Calvary. Oh, God, let it be hot in the pulpit and the pews. Oh, God, give them souls for their labor. I'm telling you, we were so encouraged, wouldn't we, Hassan? And then we went on down a little further and found a little pavilion, And again, I witnessed to some guy, and he was already saved. He was an evangelist, but we hugged and took a picture together. And I mean, people were accepting those hats. People said, hey, yeah, we might come and check you guys out. We talked to somebody from Linked Up Church. I said, hey, thank you for supporting our children's home. I said, come and hear the CEO speak on homecoming. And so everything was just going so well and so good. We had music playing and just sharing the gospel. People, they wanted it. And then we stood back and we looked, and almost everybody walking around that track had on a Jesus hat, Brother Chuck. I was like, look at them walking around in Jesus hats. It lit a fire. Jeff said, hey, Brother Justin, I know what we can do next time. Why don't we bring my art board out here under this pavilion, and we could do some chalk stuff, and they draw the kids in. I said, yeah, and how about we have some snacks, too, and gospel tracks, and you see, you feel that? It's a little bit of fire being stirred. It's God sitting in his house. And then a man came by and said, hey, thank you for the hat. Just want to let you know that I have a database filled with pianists. I go to a church in Woodstock, and he said, you just tell me what you need. And I said, well, I'll get with my choir director and the deacon. We'll go through this and look and see. But he said, here, write my number, take my number down and call me. And we have pianists, we're overflowing with them. You never know what God's going to do if you just go. You may be going for one thing and you come back with another thing. What a blessing it was yesterday. We came back encouraged. Woo, what a blessing. We were there telling everybody, hey, it's supper time. And we got fed. What a blessing. Cannot outgive God. And so we see the crew here. And he went to tell everybody the table is now ready. Now, there's a third thing. When it comes to the subject of it's supper time, we see the cook, we see the crew, but now we see the community. The community. Verse number 18 through 20, the community, don't be surprised, church, gave excuses. Notice the first one, verse number 18. The first one was a fibber. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Well, he was a fibber. You say, how do you say that? You don't buy any property without first looking at it. Amen? And in those days when money was very scarce, you just have to inspect it first, then you purchase it. Besides, even if he really did already purchase some property, it was something that he could have went back and inspected after the supper. But the point of the moral of this first point is, this fibber is, he just didn't want to go to supper. He gave this excuse. He was a fibber. He bought a piece of ground without viewing first. Could have seen it later. Nobody buys without viewing. Listen, you will come across people you invite to church that just don't want to go to church. They will make excuses. They will tell lies. They will say, well, I bought a piece of land over here in Alabama and I got to go there and view it first. No, you didn't buy a piece of land. You never did. You would have inspected that on the first hand before you bought it. And so we have people who fib in the community. But not only do we see a fibber here in verse 18, but verse 19, we see a fool. Verse 19, the Bible says, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Really? You made a purchase without testing? Now, there may have been some people in here who have bought a car online without testing it first. I do not recommend that. I recommend that you test it first. And so we have a person that here is exhibiting a fool. He is giving an excuse that he bought these oxen without testing them first. Well, even if he did, he could have tried them later. Why couldn't he have tried them later? I'll tell you why, because he did not want to go to the supper. He was involved with whatever he had to do. He knew there was a supper being cooked up, but then he had this lame excuse that he had bought these oxen and he has to go prove them. Well, he didn't ever even buy any oxen. Money's so scarce, you don't buy stuff without testing it first. And so there's fibbers and fools, but then there's fakes. Verse number 20. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. This man had no intention on coming to that supper. First of all, what in the world does going to dinner have to do with your wife? That should make you want to go to the dinner because you got a wife. God doesn't give us spouses and blessings to keep us away from Him. He gives us spouses and blessings to draw us close to Him. He was a fake, a phony. He didn't really, when he was invited the first time, he knew he wasn't going to go. He didn't want to go this time. And so he gave a fake answer. He misled them like he was going to go. But they said, I got married. I can't go. I just can't go. No, he just didn't want to go. And when you're witnessing in the community, you'll come across fibbers and fools and fakes. Fool is a Bible word. And you'll come across all these excuses. But child of God, Don't let it slow you down, because we're about to tippy toe into something else in just a moment. Don't let the excuses of others slow you down. Even when you invite people back to church that's already saved and they say, oh no, I got this going on, I got that going on. Don't let that slow you down. Because there is a remnant of people out there that are thirsty and hungry for the gospel of God. There are people out there who are looking for something real and authentic, something they can taste. They've tasted this world. They've tasted politics. They may not know what they want, but all you have to do is say, hey, why don't you try this? Why don't you taste God's salvation? Why don't you taste His promises? It's up to us to get the word out that there is supper on the table. And so we see the community. They gave excuses. But then, let me say, there's the call. The call. You say, what do you mean, the call? Look in verse number 21. We'll get to the call in a second. It's the word compel in verse 23. But verse 21 says this. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, listen to this, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded. I've done that. I brought in the poor, the halt, the maimed. He says, and yet there is still room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them, or urge them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden or invited originally shall taste of my supper. The invitation won't get you fed. It's the response to the invitation that gets you fed. And so we see in these verses, verse 21, we see that the servant came or gave word from the community that they had excuses. Same verse, the cook says, the master says, the Bible says, he showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. He said this to his servant. He says, go get the poor. Go out there and get the maimed and get the halt and get the blind. Don't worry about those with excuses. He says there are some out there waiting for you. There may be some excuses, but there's also some beggars out there. Remember blind Bartimaeus sitting on the roadside begging everybody passing him by? And then one day he heard that Jesus was passing by. And he passed by, and blind Bartimaeus said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And we know that he was able to receive his sight, and it was because Jesus passed by. You may be the only vessel that Jesus uses to pass by somebody's direction one last and final time. I think we get so caught up in all those who make excuses and that don't want to come to church and those that don't want to come back to church, and we get discouraged and even complacent and we lose our fire and we start to dwindle. But if we just keep our eyes on those who want Jesus, keep our eyes on the fact that everyone is not saved, keep our eyes on the fact there is a full course meal to be presented to a lost and dying world, it will keep us on track. And so he tells them to go out quickly. Go out. There are those out there that need it. There are those out there that are hungry. There are those out there that are hurting. If you notice, poor, they're hungry. Halt and maimed, blind, they're hurting. They can't see. This is typology of lost people. People who need it. And Jesus has commissioned us to go and tell the people it's supper time. Verse number 22. The servant said, he has done that and there's still room at the table. Verse 23, the cook says, the master says, look harder. He says, Master, we've got in the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. We've done that. He says, but then the servant said, but yet there's still room. Verse 23, he says, look harder. I still have some out there that need supper. Look harder. Look, verse 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways outside the city limits. And hedges. Interesting word here, hedges. Hedges is through the idea of a vineyard or farming that has hedges around it to protect from animals and to protect people from stealing the crops or the things that are in the vineyard. He says that there are laborers in the hedges that work there. They're poor. They're needy. They work a regular job. They're barely getting by. He says, I want you to look harder. I want you to go into the hedges. Can I say that many people have said that our zone that we live in Powder Springs, we're just not in the right area. Can I say God has put us in the hedges? There are people, praise the Lord, there are people today that need Jesus in Powder Springs. We don't need to relocate to somewhere where it's only whites, but we need to stay here where there's whites and there's blacks and there's Hispanics, because everybody bleeds red and everybody needs Jesus. Amen. We need to go inside the hedges. We need to go inside the trailer parks. We need to go inside the projects. And we need to, you say, Brother Justin, yeah, you're just saying that. You don't really matter. Yes, I mean that. Because at the end of the day, that's why we're here, is to spread out a supper and say that Jesus saves, and He wants to save you. He wants to save the poor. He wants to save the rich. He wants to save the learned. He wants to save the unlearned. Bless God, He wants to encourage the saved, those that are living in the past but sit on these pews for years. He wants you to know that He's not dead. He's alive. There are still people out there that want to come in here, but we've got to go get them. That's why God is stirring the nest at Calvary. He is doing this work here. He wants it to grow. He wants it to blossom. He wants it to bloom. We, as His servants, have a word to share that is supper time. It's supper time. So he says in verse 23, look harder. Look harder. Go out of the norm. Go take the highway and look. Go inside the hedges and look. He says, and compel them. That word compel means to urge. It means to persuade. Mister, ma'am, do you have a home church? Do you know if you died, heaven to be your home? No, I don't, and no, I'm not. Well, Jesus died for you. Would you come and hear the gospel at my church? There's a table spread in splendor for you. That's what we're to do. And that's what we're to encourage all of us to do, those that already saved us, encourage one another and pray for one another, that God will have His message roar on Sunday morning, and roar on Sunday night, and roar on Wednesday night. We have a message to share. Amen. I'm not just standing up here hollering at you. I'm just very passionate, and I'm moved. I'm moved. And listen, we can be a witness anywhere, anytime, any place. We here at the church have just been trying to formulate an outreach team, and we're trying to grow some roots in it. It's going to take some years to do that. But I want it to be something that outlives me here at the church, that something that gets deep, and something that one day somebody might come along and say, Brother Justin, I have a desire to oversee the outreach team. I have this idea, that idea. And it starts taking root, and we start getting out there and inviting friends and neighbors. And seeing it grow. It's all about outreach. We're doing good with the inreach, but it's the outreach. And this is, in my study of Scripture, the only reason why we're here is not to just come in and praise the Lord, but go out and get fruit, and that the fruit could remain and should remain. We're called to be ambassadors of Christ. And I want to tell you, there is nothing more fulfilling than a one-on-one talk with somebody about the Lord. Listen, there's nothing super spiritual about me. I woke up yesterday morning. First thing I did was stare at the ceiling for 5 minutes. I said, God Almighty, what we got to do today is beyond me. I said, I'm about to roll out of this bed, and I got to have a touch from my head to my feet. I got to have you. And I'm telling you, Brother Harold, I'm human like the rest of you. I'm not saying our calling is easy, but there is a cost to discipleship. And so we went, and God blessed. And so said all that to say this, he wants us to look harder. But then verse number 24. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. So that tells us that they all were invited, but everybody didn't respond. Many are called, few are chosen. You say, who are the chosen ones? The chosen ones are those who answer the call. The gospel is going out this morning, and Jesus is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We know everybody will not get saved, but that's not going to stop us from telling the world that it's supper time. There are some spiritual potatoes ready for you. There's some spiritual steak. There's the meat of the Word. God has a supper prepared for all of us. So it's supper time. The table is set. Let us go and urge all to come and dine, the lost and the saved. If you need to come this morning, you come. Listen, this is the most important time, invitation time, and we're all here for the same purpose, to know God, get closer to Him, and share His Word. Father, we love You today. We thank You. We praise You for who You are, for what You do. I pray You'll give liberty, Lord, during this time of invitation to anybody that may need to come. And so, Lord, we just give You full reign right now. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come this morning, come. There'll be someone here to meet you in the altar and help pray with you.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come.
Would you come and feast?
No more clouds.
Are you hungry spiritually?
And no more tears.
When was the last time you shared your faith? Let's share our faith intentionally. We all need help this morning, every last one of us. Let us encourage one another. We're just beggars telling other beggars where we found bread. That's what we do. Others may need to come. You come. You come. No service tonight.
There
new business now,
no
Lord.
Sorrow there.
No more burdens to bear. Amen.
No more sickness.
Is your name on the roll?
And no.
Have you responded to the invitation? To the great supper that's coming. Will you be there? The future supper even.
With the one
to sing, church.
What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Amen. Good song. I appreciate that. We still have one praying. We'll be mindful of him. Are you looking forward to that day, that glorious day? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, if you are saved, just try to share that with someone else. Again, we're just beggars who found bread, and we're telling other beggars of where we found it, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Well, you have the night off, so enjoy yourself and just reflect on God's blessings. Just reflect on what he's doing here at the church, what was accomplished last week. We said Wednesday night, I'll go ahead and say it again, and I looked at you, Brother Ceylon, I remember something else. Teachers and officers, election, or just coming up. Anyway, we started a new church here already, haven't we? We're getting ready to, and we'd just like to ask you to serve in your position another year, if you would. We understand, if not, but we don't want you to run off, of course. But we appreciate you in the areas that you serve, officers and teachers, asking you again to serve with us for one more year. And so I remember that, and I forgot what I was going to say. What was I going to say, Christy? Yes, ma'am. I tell you, that's mother half right there. The goal was 3,000. Y'all ready for it? 45.95. That's my Jesus over there. You don't mind if I do a little dance, do you? Cut a rug? All right. Been good being here. I'm going to miss you tonight. But please go rest. Enjoy your family. Enjoy the blessings of God. We'll meet back here on Wednesday. 7 o'clock, young people downstairs, older people upstairs. I said older. I didn't say old. I said older. But anyway, I think, Brother Brian, I don't want to put you on the spot, brother, but I think, are y'all going to the movies anytime soon? The Forge? Oh, okay. Thank you, brother. Thank you. I thought I heard that. I just wanted just to get that out there. I know it excites our young people going to the movies. So that is a great movie, The Forge. Go see it if you have not already. All right, anything else to mention before we go?
Two things, Pastor.
Okay.
Did you say 45.95?
I did.
Well, it would only be fair to make it an even 5,000. I'll go with the $5. And one more thing. Love that chicken from Popeyes.
Love that chicken from Popeyes. All right. 400.
Whatever
it is. We praise the Lord for what we received, and we praise the Lord for Popeye's chicken. All right. So it's been a good day in the house of the Lord. Everybody, just enjoy your day. Tell somebody about the Lord and rest in the promises of God. Amen. All right. You're dismissed. See, I told you wrong at first. I told Randy wrong too.
upside down.